Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Good morning and welcome to The Public File. I'm Kim Kaplan. Today's program is committed to supporting organizations who are actively creating a more diverse, equitable, and inclusive environment, not only in the workforce, but also in our communities. My guest today is Kathy Rodriguez-Aguirre, President and CEO of the Sacramento Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Thank you so much for joining us, Kathy. Did I get your last name right?
You were close, Kim. First of all, thank you so much for having me. And yes, Kathy Rodriguez-Aguirre.
Aguirre. Okay, I wasn't quite sure. But
it's fine. It's almost 5 years since I've been married in June, and I still have trouble with it. So no worries.
Well, welcome to The Public File. I'd like to start by stating that Hispanics are the largest and fastest growing racial and ethnic group in the Sacramento area. Tell us about the Sacramento Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and who you serve.
So Sacramento Hispanic Chamber of Commerce is actually coming close to having 50 years here in the region. In 2022, we'll be celebrating our 50th anniversary. And it was originally started by a group that was wanting to make sure that Latino-owned businesses had access to opportunities, you know, to grow their businesses, whether it was, you know, just opening up a brick and mortar, having access to government contracts, but really, you know, putting together a network that was going to help support each other and really help them build those relationships. So we're here to work with our minority-owned businesses. We work with all businesses, but our niche really is Latino-owned, Latina-owned, Latinx, Hispanic, however a business chooses to identify. We work with them. And it really is to make sure that there's access to opportunity, that we're providing educational tools for them to grow their business. So whether that's in the form of the new HR laws that are in place, how to do marketing opportunities. A lot of lately has been about recovery and pivoting towards technology, whether it is, you know, how to work with the county, how to work with the city, whatever that might be. Our main goal is to really help these small businesses be able to continue to grow and be successful. And we act also as advocate for them. So a lot of times they're not able to be in these other arenas to advocate for themselves. We end up being the voice for them to remind people that, just as you said, our Latino-owned businesses are a core part of this region, and that also means they're a core part of the economic engine that is our region. So I'm here to help remind people of that and make sure that there is actual equal investment in them so that they can continue to flourish.
Wow. So 50 years, how have you seen the Hispanic community in terms of ownership, and how is that growing?
So we have businesses that have actually been in business for 50, some 60 years. So even before the chamber existed, that are still running businesses. Of course, those tend to be family owned. And so now it's, you know, the next generations that are taking over for them and also, you know, implementing, you know, some like new ideas into them. So it's been really fun to see. Like, I get to see these families and hear their stories, how they started, how they put their kids through college, how they're coming back. So there's that. And then because of that, there's also this whole idea that for the families, it's not, entrepreneurship is not a new thing. So you'll see their kids or their other relatives say, this is a business I'm going to start. So it might not be continuing the family business, but it's a brand new business that they're doing. And I continue to see that even during this pandemic. Yes, there were businesses that ended up closing, but there were also businesses that ended up opening that, you know, found a different niche that they were able to go ahead and, you know, open up and start. And so it's something that's just a spirit that's in people to continue to do this. So I've seen everything, as I said, from businesses that have been anchors in neighborhood corridors that have been there for generations to brand new businesses that are using technology now to really advance what they're doing. So it's going to continue. I think in the Latino community especially, you're always going to see new businesses sprout up.
So that's absolutely a lot of growth in the last, you know, yeah. 50 years, probably even more so in the last 10 years.
Yes, exactly. It's incredible to see. You can see, I said, when you go in, you know, different areas or you meet with the businesses, that it, you know, it's a constant. And they're really, you know, looking at, you know, holding true to their destinies and, you know, really wanting to make sure they're providing options for their families, that they're giving back to the community, that they're really investing in their neighborhood. You know, for me, it's like a really great thing to be the one that's like the cheerleader, the confident, the advocate, you know, for a lot of people that are really doing the work and, you know, really making, you know, the investment in themselves to make sure that they have a business that can, you know, grow and contribute, you know, again, to the economy of our region.
So you mentioned COVID and how some of these businesses, maybe some of them had to close, but then you saw a lot of them opening. How has the COVID pandemic impacted the way you work and serve the Hispanic community?
Well, for us, it's always been about flexibility, right? Since our businesses are here in Sacramento, but we also have some in Woodland and Folsom and Roseville and Elk Grove. So it's always been about trying to make sure that what we do, you know, works the best for the most. Because things, you know, are a little different depending on which, you know, municipality you're in. And so for us, it was, again, you know, finding ways to pivot, again, to be more flexible. And what's really interesting for us is it really was more about going back to grassroots, using safety measures and safety precautions. We actually, you know, put a team together, especially the last quarter that we're continuing, you know, with this year of what we call promotoras, which in our case are the business navigators that are can speak Spanish, and so they're bilingual, bicultural. Some of them, you know, own their own businesses at one time or still do. And they're the meeting with businesses, you know, actually going to them. How can we help you? What do you need? And I want to be clear that they're not there to say, you know, join the Sacramento Hispanic Chamber. It's not about that at all. It's about, you know, here we have these resources. We want to make sure you know about them. You know, do you need assistance applying for anything? Do you need, you know, better contact? You know, how can we help you? And it's been fantastic. You know, we see information everywhere, right? You're media. So same as me, I'm sure you have something that comes up, pops up every day. You know, here's a grant opportunity. Here's a loan opportunity. And so we're under the assumption that everyone must know because we see it and hear it everywhere. Well, for some of the businesses, believe it or not, they don't always know. And so having someone that's coming in saying, hey, did you hear about this grant opportunity that's coming up? You know, this is, you know, how you can apply. You don't have a laptop. Well, I do. Let me help you do this. It's been really a godsend to a lot of them. They're like, I had no idea. Thank you so much for being here and helping me do this. And so that's all we wanted was to get, you know, more resources to people to make sure that, you know, we're connecting them to information that they need. And so it's working. So as we've pivoted towards technology, which is needed and, you know, advanced and what we want to do, it's interesting that we've balanced it out with this very grassroots, which some people might think is, like, you know, kind of retro, of actually what it is face-to-face interaction. So we're continuing to do that and, you know, meeting people where they are.
Yeah, I mean, because especially with COVID, you've heard the challenges that some of these communities face and that it's a lot more difficult to get the resources that they need. And mostly it's because they don't know how to access them.
It's exactly that. And, you know, when we started doing this is how many people honestly do most of the stuff through their phone and maybe their Wi-Fi or, you know, broadband that they had was either very little or non-existent. And we have some great partnerships that we do with the collaborative SAC IEDC, which is made up of several chambers and PBIDs. And we really work with one another to fill the void that maybe I had and someone else, you know, could fill in. So for some businesses, we'd go to them and they didn't even have an email address. So can you imagine you're getting this information? Okay, put your email address and this will start you. And they're like, I don't have that. And so when you realize that things, something as basic as that was not there, then you start to understand, oh, we assume there's, you know, that we have all this information, but the access to it is not as available as we think. And also let people know, like, it's okay. So you don't, but we have a way to help you do that. so that people start to feel more comfortable saying, this is the type of help I need.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how I don't really think about the fact that somebody doesn't have access to an email.
Right? And I do too. That's why I'm not kidding. When they first came back and said that, I'm like, no, I didn't understand. I'm like, wait, what do you mean? You know, everyone has one. And you realize, no, everyone doesn't have one. Because it's always about access. You know, the access to opportunity is actually what's most critical. And so we need to continually make sure that we're thinking, you know, every new program that we bring up, is that going to be something that's going to be available to everyone? And how are we making sure that that is? Our role is just to really help our businesses, you know, as they need, and to make sure that, you know, we're providing them with the information that's available on all different levels that are really just going to help their business.
So you have a number of programs. Tell us about, okay, and I'm going to just probably say this wrong too.
No, no worries.
Is it Juntos Sacramento?
Oh, it's Juntos Sacramento.
Juntos Sacramento.
Juntos, yes.
So J is like H. Juntos.
Yes.
So,
yes.
And I do know, I'm married to a Latino. I do know a little bit of Spanish, and I know I've seen this word before, but I think it means togetherness or together.
Yes.
Oh, see? I remembered.
Bingo, I'm not your husband. I got it. Yes.
I might not be able to say it, but I do know what it means.
No, that's fantastic. Yes, Juntos Sacramento, you know, we've always talked about that, I think, and it's everyone does, right? When something happens, right? But we're all in it together. It's, you know, so much better when we work together, we support one another. The only way we're going to make it through anything is together. And so Juntos is that. And when we were like looking at our programs and thinking about how we're going to get this through, we really wanted, you know, our membership and our businesses and the community to realize, you know what, it's juntos, it's together. And so it's kind of, you know, I always say like our Spanish flair on everything, but within Juntos Sacramento, it's all encompassing. So that was what we called our overall brand for all the programs we have to offer. So one of them, as I explained, was the Promotores program, which is our grassroots outreach that we're doing. We also have a Emprende Sacramento, which is basically like a kind of a jump start, is, you know, the English version is the best translation. And so that program is for our businesses that maybe prefer to learn in Spanish, you know, as their first language, you know, that's, you know, just the learning process for it. So it's a about a 10-week course that happens all about your business, you know, whether you're starting off with an idea or you've, you know, just kind of started your business, but you're under the $1 million revenue mark, and you go through all the modules, and it's all in Spanish. Right now it's virtual because that's the way things are. So that's one of the programs. We also have a Level Up Sacramento, and that one is for our businesses that have been around, you know, maybe 5 or 10 years. This year with the Level Up Sacramento, a little different because a lot of those businesses have gone, you know, we woke up in 2021 and realized, you know what, we're still here. So let's, you know, figure out the best, you know, of the lessons learned, put that in place and keep moving forward, and now go back to my business plan and maybe revamp it a little bit, because I'm really looking for more to like my growth, because obviously if I've made it through this, looks like I can, you know, withstand almost anything, right? So really, that's the Juntos umbrella, is like everything that possibly be available that is free, really, for your business, you know, to apply to or consulting needs, or anything that you might need. And again, the Juntos is, we're all in this together. We know. We want to make sure that our business owners know that they're not alone, that they have support, you know, in us, and that we're going to do our very best to connect them to whatever it is that they might need at the moment.
So a lot of tools available for sure.
Yes.
You're listening to The Public File. Today's focus is on those organizations who are actively creating more diverse, equitable, and inclusive environment in the workforce and in our communities. And thank you for joining us. I'm Kim Kaplan. And my guest this morning is Kathy Rodriguez. Okay, I'm going to do this right. Aguirre.
Yes, perfect.
I did it. Thanks again for being here, Kathy. Why is diversity and inclusion more important than ever in the way you do business?
You know, I think it's something that we all knew already, right? Is that, you know, our world is global. Like when you, even before pandemic, and I feel like there's always going to be now, as we move forward, there's always going to be this before and after, right? But before pandemic, there really was, you know, when you looked at the tech world, one of the reasons, you know, was so successful and growing so much is that they could interact with companies and businesses around the globe, right? It's a global environment. And so they were already doing, you know, that portion. And I think finding out that, you know, when you're able to get ideas and interact from someone that's in Germany or Japan or Mexico at any given time, you know, you're going to hear best practices from around the world. That's only going to make you better. So when you think about it for, you know, just here in the region, how much stronger you are when you're getting those different perspectives, those different experiences coming to the table and, you know, looking at a problem or a challenge, you know, from a perspective you may never have had. And maybe together you come up with some, you know, solution you wouldn't have thought of on your own or vice versa. Or suddenly the solution you both thought had, you know, is that much better because of the collaboration that you had. And I think that when we are doing that, we just find that it's good for business. I'm going to speak from a business perspective. When you're able, you know, to do that, it's been shown just like if you just look at it on from a financial viewpoint, financially, it's always better when you invest in diversity and you have a culture of inclusion because people feel that, you know, you can be more collaborative. You feel like a sense of belonging. You feel like your ideas are being heard. And, you know, that there's opportunity for them to be implemented. And as when you take it out of the business world, all those things I just said are what all of us want, right? We all want to feel like we have a sense of belonging, that we're being heard, which is different, by the way, than saying that everyone agrees with us. That is not what, you know, inclusion and diversity is. It is, am I being heard? Am I being listened to? Am I being respected? And am I doing that vice versa? For someone else. In order for us to really build strong foundations, whether that's in your family, in your business, in a region, it really all comes to that. You know, what is it that I'm doing to make sure that we all have that feeling of belonging, of knowing that, you know, we have value and that we're bringing value to what we do and we're accepting the value of someone else. You know what? And the other thing too is that we're comfortable where we're at, right? So another thing I always tell people, like, sometimes your world is just like what's in your front yard, right? So if your front yard is always, you know, blooming and pretty and like, you know, our roses are looking fantastic and they smell so great. And, you know, I shared with you, I've got three dogs and they're prancing about and they're all happy. Like, so the world looks pretty good, you know, in my front yard, but that's not the same front yard everyone else, you know, is living. To go back to your question, why it's important is just that if we don't embrace diversity and inclusion, we're always going to be at a stalemate and we're not going to grow. We're just not going to be able to get to those next steps unless we can find a way to really say, yes, like this is important to us and we're going to be intentional about, you know, what we're doing. And the reason all of this matters is because then it goes also back to representation, right? When we look at diversity and inclusion, if we're looking for growth, a lot of times people will strive when they're like, oh, that I see someone that looks like me or has had, you know, similar experiences. That means I can get there too. Yeah. And so everything that we do has always been, this is something that I think people have always wanted, but now as we progress, we have to look at how are we being intentional about it? How are we deciding that this is, you know, what we want? So that means that we have to make decisions every day that are saying, if this is what we want, then this is what we need to make sure is getting us there.
So what is the biggest challenge that the SAC HCC has when it comes to advocating for the Hispanic community?
It's just a reminder for everyone that even the Latino community is incredibly diverse. So there is no like one image that, you know, fits all. And so we're just as diverse as the entire like rest of the community is too. So meaning by that, with the Latino community, you know, we have people that only speak Spanish, that only speak English, that are Spanglish, that speak multiple languages. They come from a lot of different countries. You know, I think a lot of people think, oh, it's only Mexico, but really, especially in Sacramento, we have people from Puerto Rico and El Salvador and Colombia and Nicaragua and Cuba, as well as, you know, many others that are out there. And so depending on, you know, the background of the country of origin, it can be different. Even the language, you know, Spanish can be slightly different depending on which country you're from.
As well as their culture, right?
As well as their culture, yeah. So a tamales in Mexico is different than tamales in El Salvador. There is also the fact that, you know, we're in all different professions too. So, you know, there are some of us, you know, leading, you know, business associations. You know, people are, you know, professionals or small business owners. So they're educators. And yes, you know, we have a large immigrant, you know, population too. You know, that's a lot of the essential workforce. But, you know, so we're a little bit of everything, just like everyone else. And so when I'm advocating Ruby Bowl, it's that reminder of, you know, we are just as concerned as, you know, again, access to opportunity and education and business and, you know, for our workforce that's out there. So it's just that part of reminding people that, you know, we are just as diverse. And so, but our, you know, the needs and issues that are important to us are the same ones that are important to everyone else, you know, jobs, employment, education, health. Healthcare is incredibly important.
Yeah, and everyone.
And so, and I say that because, you know, I think a lot of people feel that, well, it's always, you know, immigration is the most important. And so if we handle this, you know, everything is taken care of. And it is a critical part, you know, of our community, but it's not the only part. And so we want to remind people that, you know, we are looking for, you know, investment to be made across the board. So it's really that. I think most people, you know, are surprised when I'm like, you know, we're everywhere and these are all the different things that are happening. The other part, you know, the advocacy that I do is, again, that reminder that, you know, our small businesses that have been, especially in our diverse neighborhoods and corridors, I mentioned some that, you know, been here 50, 60 years, you know, some that are 40 years, you know, they're anchors in their neighborhoods. And so if they've been together out there now for all those decades, Kim, that means they've made it through actually a couple of recessions and now a pandemic. And so I, you know, advocate for our city and county. When you're looking at the next major investments, look out there, you know, because they've, you know, held it together for so many others. And as I love downtown just as much as everyone else, and it's a fantastic and thriving, you know, a core. But, you know, let's spread out this investment to other areas too, because, you know, they have those opportunities to also, you know, be elevated and to bring, you know, more tourism that way, to bring more customers out, you know, where they're at, because they deserve it. They've, you know, continued, you know, the investment in their communities and in the businesses. So that means that they've been investing in the city and, you know, county revenues too. So when we look at investment, let's look out there too.
That's really, really good advice. Hey, thank you so much for joining me this morning, Kathy. As usual, you know, it's always a learning experience for me. And that's why our whole DEI program and understanding more about equity and inclusion, especially when it's really important in our communities right now, more than ever. But really do appreciate it. You can learn more about the Sacramento Hispanic Chamber of Commerce by visiting the organization at sachcc.org. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct.
Great. Well, again, thank you so much for joining me, Kathy.
Thank you, Kim.
This has been The Public File. If you'd like us to cover your nonprofit, send an email to sacpsa@odyssey.com. I'm Kim Kaplan. Stay safe, stay connected, and thanks for listening.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.